This mass is offered for the repose of the soul of Steve Flores and for Dan and Roseanne Houlihan. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We spoke about these readings both on Monday and as well on Tuesday at the funeral for Tommy. Particularly the Gospel of John. We must eat his flesh and drink his blood if we were to have his life within us and indeed be raised upon the last day. Our Lord's words are to be taken at face value. What's still more? We speak about this very passage and preached upon it earlier in the year when we had the feast of the conversion of St. Paul, January the 25th. We saw how his scales being lifted from his eyes and that the Lord identifies himself with his people to persecute the people of Christ. Those who trust in his name is indeed to persecute Christ himself. But our saint today would have you and I go deeper with that and to see that not only is to persecute Christ is also to persecute his chosen ones, his disciples, but specifically as well to persecute, to oppose his greatest disciple, which would be none other than the Blessed Mother. He writes in his writings that loving slaves of Jesus in Mary should also hold in high esteem devotion to Jesus, the Word of God, in the great mystery of the Incarnation, because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit for the following reasons: that we might honor and imitate the wondrous dependence which God the Son chose to have on Mary, for the glory of his Father and for the redemption of man; that we might thank God for the incomparable graces he has conferred upon Mary, and especially that of choosing her to be his most worthy mother. Indeed, so closely are the Blessed Virgin Mary and her work and that of Christ so united in Jesus that is all in Mary and Mary is all in Jesus. Or rather, just as St. Paul speaks about in the beautiful passage of Galatians, says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in within me. Indeed, it was no longer Mary who lived, but rather Christ who lived in Mary. Jesus lives in her. Jesus alone lives within her. It would easier be to separate light from the sun than for Mary to be separated in any way from her divine Son, who is Jesus Christ. So united are they that our Lord may be called Jesus of Mary, and his mother be called Mary of Jesus. Even if you look upon the saints would refer to the Blessed Virgin Mary as that she was the throne room of God's mysteries. And so she willingly accepted all of them. When you and I wish to be more and more Christ-like, it is nothing other than to say that you and I must be more like Mary, more like Mary, more like she who is the queen of our hearts, the world of the church, and indeed is the church incarnate. The saints speak of Mary as the magnificence of God, as if God showed his magnificence only in Mary, the seat of glory for the Father. It was in Mary that Jesus perfectly atoned to his Father on behalf of all mankind. It was here that he perfectly restored the glory that had been taken from his Father. It is through her that God received his only Son. There upon the cross, she released him to go back to his Father to complete the work for which he was born. Mary plays this integral role within our lives and within the church. And if we do not become Mary, and if we do not give ourselves totally to Our Lady, then we cut ourselves off from the grace that God desires to do within his church. Just as much even as to cut oneself off from the Eucharist prevents one from truly being Christian. Here as we have these mysteries on which to meditate today, we would do well to re-examine, in preparation for the month of Mary, May, the writings of St. Louis de Montfort, to read his little pamphlet, his little booklet on the secret of Mary, or to go through that larger work which is true devotion to Mary, and to make a consecration to her, to Jesus in her, through this great mysteries in this age, which is such a beautiful Marian age. Particularly this, It is easy for you and I to become discouraged amidst the terrible things that we are daily bombarded with in the news or in our social media feeds or in whatever it is that we go and look about, particularly even when we just look upon our own families and see the state in which they are not yet following Christ or the church. And she is bombarded by so many evils and seems in so many ways not to be following Christ, but to be discarding the teachings which have nourished her throughout the ages for something new. Rededicating ourselves to Mary is what keeps you and I upon that strong and certain path, for she is nothing but the embodiment of all the things that the Lord has called his church to be, and you and I to be. And when those discouragements begin to creep in, what do we recall to our minds, call to our hearts, and hold to be true? For it says, Our Lady speaks it, that in the end my immaculate heart will triumph. That means even the present cares and sorrows and struggles that are going on within the world or within our families, even those things that we can't seem to be free from in our own hearts that daily cause us wounding. Say, in the end, Mary, your immaculate heart will triumph. So at least at my end, even if I do not make it to the end of the world, at my end, may your immaculate heart triumph. And if we work to become more Marian now and dedicate ourselves all the more to her and ask for her aid and assistance in the various acts that we do, it doesn't matter what happens within the world. It doesn't matter what happens even, sadly, within our own families. But if she triumphs in our heart first, then all those other things will come to be as the Lord desires. Let Mary conquer your heart in this time, and you'll see her heart triumph at least by that final breath. St. Louis de Montfort, Marian Doctor of the Church, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,